Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Rhonda Branham, blessed to be here with you today, along with my co-host for life, Monica Siefker. We're both so happy to have you along with us for today's program, which is going to feature Debbie Miller and her post-abortion reconciliation ministry called Healing Hidden Hurts. Debbie began this ministry all the way back in 1999, and since then, she's been offering support and assistance to women who have had abortions by helping them move away from a painful past into a future filled with hope. Debbie's doing some very important and beautiful work right here in the Archdiocese, and we look forward to speaking with her in just a few moments. But right now, Monica, why don't you go ahead and start us off in prayer?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we come before you as prodigal sons and daughters. We have sinned against you and have done what is evil in your sight. Yet we dare to approach you because we are filled with hope, knowing that in the greatness of your compassion, you wipe out our offenses, wash us from our guilt, and cleanse us from our sins. We lift up to you and intercede on behalf of all souls who have been involved in past abortions. We pray especially for all parents who have lost a child to abortion and whose hearts are closed to your mercy. May they be given the grace of repentance and come to know your healing embrace. We pray for parents who are overwhelmed by grief and remorse at the loss of their child to abortion. May Jesus, the Good Shepherd, so rich in mercy and compassion, heal their broken hearts. We pray for all who counsel the parents of aborted children, that God will reward them for the crosses they bear and grant them words of wisdom as they lead souls to Him. Father, we feel the deep pain and scars that abortion has left upon parents, doctors, nurses, grandparents, siblings, and all of society. We come before you, as Rachel did, with bitter weeping, mourning our children who are no more. And we hear your words. Cease your cries of mourning. Wipe the tears from your eyes. The sorrow you have shown shall have its reward. There is hope for your future. Amen.
Let's go now to this week's in the news.
News of the grisly discovery of well over 2,000 preserved aborted babies found in the Illinois home of late abortionist Ulrich Klopfer continues to shock concerned citizens and legislators throughout the country. The Will County Coroner's Office received a call from the Klopfer family's attorney when they came across the remains while going through the deceased belongings on September 12th. U.S. Indiana Senators Todd Young and Mike Braun have written a letter to the U.S. Attorney General William Barr asking his office to assist the Illinois and Indiana Attorneys General in their investigation. Dr. Klopfer's blatant disregard of human life raises many questions about how the remains were transported across state lines, where and when the abortions occurred, the gestational age of each unborn child at the time of the abortion, and the current condition of the remains, the senator stated in the letter. It is also important to know if other individuals had knowledge of this activity or participated in the preservation and transfer of these remains, as well as if violations of state or federal laws occurred, the senator said. And in shockingly honest testimony given during a preliminary hearing for two pro-life investigators being prosecuted for recording secret footage of abortion industry executives, California abortionist Forrest Smith told the court that abortion executives in the videos were likely performing illegal abortion procedures, causing babies to be born alive and putting the mother's health in danger in their quest for intact fetal body parts. There's no question in my mind that at least some of these fetuses were live births, Smith told the court. Very few people in abortion outside of Planned Parenthood do that, Smith said. Smith also told the court that asking for a woman's consent to donate fetal tissue should only be done after the abortion, so that the abortionist has no incentive to alter the procedure. David DeLeiden and Sandra Merritt are charged with 14 felony counts of recording confidential information without consent. A decision on whether the case proceeds to trial is expected in a few weeks. In response to Dr. Forrest Smith's testimony, DeLeiden said his unparalleled expert qualifications make it clear that Planned Parenthood is delivering infants alive in their late-term abortion procedures, and that that fetal organ trafficking companies routinely kill born-alive infants through organ harvesting. And this past Wednesday, Bloomington joined over 500 cities throughout the world in kicking off the fall 2019 40 Days for Life campaign. 40 Days for Life is the largest international pro-life effort to end abortion, making use of a constant prayerful and peaceful presence in front of an abortion center or referral clinic for 40 consecutive days at a minimum of 12 hours per day. Participants are also asked to fast during the same time period. Since its inception in 2007, over 16,000 lives have been saved from abortion, over 100 abortion centers have closed down, and over 190 abortion workers have left the industry. The fall campaign will add to those numbers, along with the hope that it will propel the movement closer to its goal of ending abortion. And finally, 14 unborn children were killed this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood as women came from Kentucky, Illinois, and various Hoosier counties to have their unborn baby killed either through a surgical or chemical abortion. Weekly abortion numbers continue to be well below the average here in Bloomington as pro-lifers step up to pray, fast, and offer practical help for women experiencing unplanned pregnancies. And that's your weekly in the news. As is often said, there are at least two victims in every abortion, the unborn baby and the mother, and often there are others as well. So many women and men live for years with the guilt of having had an abortion, including many who sit in the pews of churches. In fact, a 2015 survey conducted by Lifeway Research showed that 70% of women who have had abortions call themselves Christians, and a full 36% in the survey had been attending a church once a month or more at the time of their abortion. Rhonda, these statistics don't surprise us, do they? Because it lines up with what we hear when we talk to the women down there at 421 South College Avenue. Well, breaking it down even further, Catholics accounted for 27% of these 7 in 10 women who identified as Christian. So bottom line, there's a significant number of women in church on Sundays who are carrying the guilt and shame of having had an abortion.
And let's not forget about the other family members who may have been involved as well and are wounded. The pain runs deep, and it's important for us to be aware of this so that we can be a sign of mercy, letting them know that God loves them and wants to extend his forgiveness to them. Well, one of the most valuable and inspiring resources that is available to help with post-abortion recovery is Debbie Miller's 10-step program called Healing Hidden Hurts. And Debbie is on the phone with us to talk about her healing ministry and how God is using it to help build up a culture of life, love, and hope. Debbie, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today, and welcome to Pro-Life to the Max.
Thank you so much for having me today. It's such a pleasure to be on.
Oh, great. Well, good. Thank you, Debbie. So why don't you just quickly tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, where you live, how many children you have?
Sure. I'm a cradle Catholic, and I was raised on the west side of Indianapolis. I've been married to my husband for 47 years.
Wow.
And we attend St. Anthony Church in Indianapolis. We have three children, one in heaven, and the other two are married and have given us 5 beautiful grandchildren.
Oh, beautiful.
Now, you started this post-abortion ministry for a very personal reason. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. I had an abortion when I was 23. I had not been practicing my faith for some time. And after the abortion, when I was thinking of committing suicide, I remembered God. And when I cried out for his help, he came immediately into my life so that I knew that God heard me and I knew that he cared. And good things began to happen in my life. And then later in 86, during a Christ Renews His Parish weekend, I had a major conversion and began to have a hunger for God and his word. And it was several years later when I felt God was calling me into ministry. And then with the help of my pastor, I discerned that God was calling me into post-abortion ministry. And so I founded this ministry in 1999, Healing Hidden Hurts.
Wow, that is beautiful.
So you really, did you turn to anybody for help when you had those suicidal thoughts?
No, I didn't tell anyone about it.
Wow.
And actually, my family wouldn't have known anything about it because I never spoke to anyone about it.
Wow.
I was just internalizing it and just, I was thinking of different ways that I could carry it out. You know, but God intervened.
Yeah.
I'm just so grateful for that.
Yeah, so tell us more then about these post-abortion syndrome and what are the symptoms?
Well, post-abortion syndrome is caused when a woman who's had one or more abortions is not able to accept the possibility of forgiveness for herself, and she's not able to fully grieve the loss of her child. And so some of the symptoms, probably the most major symptoms that I see, is anger and rage. panic attacks, anxiety, sadness, eating disorders, self-destructive behavior, sleep disorders, you know, things like that.
And how soon after a woman has had an abortion might this come up?
Well, actually, pretty much immediately after, she first senses relief. You know, when she's leaving, she's feeling like, oh my gosh, this burden's lifted. But very soon afterwards, I would say within a few days, it hits her that what she's done is so wrong, and she starts feeling really bad about it. Now, I believe the enemy moves in right away to let you know that you have committed the unforgivable sin. There's no way back, because women, you know, they know what they've done is wrong, and it really starts to bother them very shortly, within a few days afterwards. And more and more, you know, I've been doing ministry for 20 years, and in the beginning, women were 25 and 30 years post-abortion. But in these last 5 years, I've had women coming up more and more frequently, like a year out. And this year, I've had several who are like within weeks after the abortion.
And why do you think that is?
Well, I think the difference is because we have the internet now.
Okay.
And women are really informed. So they get online and they find out how women are affected by abortion.
Good
and then
point. Okay.
If they have any kind of a Christian background, they realize that they have really offended God, and they know they need that spiritual healing, and so they're looking for a spiritual program.
Yeah. So you have a 10-step program. What can a woman expect when she goes through this program?
Well, she can find freedom from the symptoms of post-abortion syndrome that have plagued her, and then she can find peace of mind and heart. You know, she's always going to have that regret that she's had the abortion, but the pain that she's suffering can be lessened.
Okay.
And so she will have that little bit of relief, and she will grow closer to Christ in this program. And that is where you experience God's peace and His mercy. And a lot of times these women are very holy. When they come on the other side of this abortion and they come that close to evil and they turn back to God, and they are so grateful for God reaching out to them and extending His mercy and His grace, that a lot of times these women are very holy.
God has a way of doing that, doesn't He?
Yeah.
Yes, He does.
So, Debbie, are you the only counselor available, or are there others in the state?
Well, you know, over the years, I've trained quite a few women, but it seems like they only last for a short period of time, and then they stop. So it's a very time-intensive program. It takes about 4 months for a woman to go through the program, so you're meeting every week. And so a lot of people just don't have that kind of time to put into it. And so the women who have come alongside to help, you know, they just do it for a period of time and then they move on to something else.
Yeah.
So, we're hoping to change that.
Yeah. And so can non-Catholics also contact you?
Oh, sure. Sure. I work with anyone as long as they believe in Christ, because Jesus Christ is the healer.
Okay.
I'm just filling in the human part of it, you know, so they can see someone, talk to someone.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about that 10-step program? When a woman calls you and, you know, and wants to go through this ministry, what kind of things can she herself be going through and expect?
Well, the 10-step program, normally I start off with trying to meet her face-to-face just so that she's got that contact. A lot of times when she calls, she's hesitant to speak much about what's going on. She just, she's kind of quiet and afraid. And so I will meet with her as soon as I can, usually within a few days, and then I give her the information that she needs, and then I give her a chance to look it over and then decide if this is something that she is willing to commit to, because once she begins, you want her to be able to follow it all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's her talking about her story, her listening to herself talk about it, giving the feedback that I will give as I'm listening to her story and kind of giving it back to her, what I'm hearing. All of those things are very healing for her, because most of the time she doesn't talk about it with anyone else. And if she's very long post-abortion, you know, 8, 10 years or longer, and she's carried that secret, she really needs to be able to talk about it to find some healing. And so each week we meet for about an hour to hour and a half. It kind of depends on what her needs are. And we have a regular program that we go through step by step. And the program was put together by qualified professionals who saw the needs that women have after an abortion. They don't always need a professional counselor, but they need someone to come alongside and kind of help them to process the hurt and the trauma that they've experienced.
And you must be very giving generously of your time, too, to make yourself available for all this.
Well, I feel like this is a calling. God has called me to do this ministry, and so this is my work. And I really love it because I feel like I get to watch God work in people's lives up close and personal.
That's awesome.
And I get to see this transformation that happens as they grow closer to God and accept His love and forgiveness.
Yeah.
Now, Debbie, how does Healing Hidden Hurts differ from other post-abortion healing programs?
The main difference is that this is a one-on-one program, and most of the other programs that are offered are in a group, either a group Bible study or a group retreat. So this is more long-term. Those are for like, the Bible study usually runs 8 to 10 weeks, I think, so it is a little bit longer. The Rachel's Vineyard retreat is just over the course of a weekend. And another thing that's different about our program is, like when I'm working with someone who has a recent abortion, it's too difficult for her to meet every week, so we kind of stagger it to like every other week because it's just too raw for her to be able to deal with that that quickly and that often. So it can really, the pace can be set according to what her needs are.
Okay.
And that is very important for her.
Yeah. So Debbie, can you tell us how many women are you currently helping?
I'm currently working with 5. And over the course of the 20 years, I've worked with over 200 women.
Wow. Praise
and
God.
So,
yeah.
It's a great blessing.
Yeah. And do you have a story you can share with us on how your ministry has transformed some post-abortive woman's life?
Yes. First of all, I'd like to say that many times women who've had abortions will go to their priest many times confessing the same sin of abortion because they just don't feel like they've been forgiven because they're in so much pain. And so one time I was working with this woman, and it was 20 years after her abortion, and every week when we met, she would just cry and cry and cry. And that's pretty typical for the first one or two sessions, but we're beginning the fifth session, and she begins to sob and cry so strong that, you know, she can't even speak. And so I asked her if she would like a shoulder to cry on, and she just nodded her head yes. So I went and I sat beside her, and I just held her, you know, like I would for one of my kids. And she just cried, and she sobbed, and she mourned, and she grieved for the loss of that child and for her sin. And when she was finished, she said, you know, I have needed that for so long. I have been meeting with my priest for years, but he couldn't do that for me. I thought, wow, you know, God really understands. You know, He knows what we need. He loves us so much. He wants us to be healed, and He wants us to help one another. Yes. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
That's a beautiful story. Wow.
Yeah. So do you have anyone else who helps you with this ministry, like with marketing or advertising? And what methods do you use to spread the word about your ministry?
Well, I've always had a spiritual director. I feel like God is always calling us to grow and to, you know, He's always speaking something new to us, you know, trying to help us to, especially in this ministry, I feel like He's calling me to grow this ministry. And so I also have a board of directors, and they help me to find the financing that we need to operate. And because we are a nonprofit and we offer this ministry for free to women, and then we have a lot of talent and volunteers who help us with the computer issues and editing materials and Facebook page and booth design when we go to conferences. And we have marketing help and graphics people. And over the years, I've given my witness to a lot of parishes in the Archdiocese of Indianapolis and the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana. So I have a lot of people who receive our ministry updates. So they refer me to people, and priests refer women to me, and counselors and doctors, and also women find us on the website.
Okay.
On the internet. And so,
which is healinghiddenhurts.org, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And listeners can donate there and find out all about it. It's a beautiful website and explains a lot of things.
Yeah. You know. Now, Debbie, do all of the priests in our archdiocese know about this ministry and are able to, you know, give that information to the women that might be coming to them?
I don't know that they all do. Typically, when I meet priests is when I'm invited into a parish for a parish visit. And that's when I come in and I do like an 8-minute abortion conversion witness during the masses over the course of the weekend. That way, women who are in the pews, they feel safe in coming to hear the message because they won't come to a small group. They're very paranoid about anyone knowing who they are. But when I come into a parish like that, then the women are there in the pews. I receive people who sign up to receive our updates. And so they become prayer support, because prayer is very important in this ministry. It's all God's grace, you know, that moves women to come forward and also to be open to receive God's grace and mercy. And so that's how I meet a lot of the priests, are through the parish visits.
Yeah, and you've been to a lot of parishes, correct? About how many in the Archdiocese have you visited, would you say?
Oh, my gosh. Probably 30 or so.
That's quite a few. Yeah.
Yeah. And not as many in the Lafayette Diocese, probably 6, I think.
Okay, so you're even in the Lafayette Diocese.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. And okay. It would be nice if you could get to all the churches, because it's sorely needed.
Yeah, have you been to Bloomington?
I was at, I think, St. John's one time for a group gathering. It wasn't during the Masses, but
okay.
It was just a small group.
Okay.
But that's the only time I've been in Bloomington.
Okay. So, Debbie, can you tell us about the Parish Partnership for Healing program?
Okay, sure. Well, the parish visit is the best way for a parish to support, because not only do we receive some financial help, but we get people who sign up to be prayer support, and women come forward, so that's always the best. And then other ways, some parishes just make an annual donation. Other parishes have like a second collection once a year for us, and sometimes groups invite us in, like for a Lenten soup supper or a women's group event they might have us in to raise some funds for us. And then in return for that, then we provide all the Healing Hidden Hurts materials for their parish. And then we usually ask for one person in the parish to kind of oversee that, to be a liaison between Healing Hidden Hurts and the parish, so they can keep an eye on when materials need to be replenished and things.
Mm-hmm. And I know St. Charles Borromeo is part of that, are they not?
Yes, they are. Yes, they were recent this year.
So, Debbie, can you tell us how your abortion, how did that affect your husband or other family members? And I think you it was a pretty special story that you can tell. Maybe tell us about your husband.
Well, my husband and I were married when we had this abortion. We had already had 2 children, and my husband had been out of work for several months and when I was carrying the second child. And so our family and friends kind of rallied around us to get it through that second pregnancy. And a short time later, I was pregnant again. And my husband was just panicky. He said, we can't afford another baby. And so, you know, he really kind of pressured me to have this abortion, our third child. And so I never told him really what I was going through, because, you know, he didn't want to talk about it afterwards. So we didn't talk about it at all for many, many years until I had my conversion. So you're talking close to over 10 years before I was able to talk to him about it. And then when he found out how deeply I had been impacted, you know, he felt really bad about that, because he never realized how deeply I had been touched. Because I was raised as a Catholic, but he was not raised in any faith. And so he just didn't have that. And he didn't really understand it, as sometimes people do if they're not close in faith. But when he realized how deeply I had been wounded by abortion, he really felt bad. And before I could really tell my story in a public way, I had to have my husband's permission. And we had to tell our children, who were in their 20s by then. And my husband said, I want to tell our children, because, you know, it's my fault.
Oh, wow.
And so that was difficult for us, but it was also very healing for him, because, you know, he had to tell our family what happened, and, you know, he was very repentant as well.
Mm-hmm. And so all of this eventually brought him into the faith, did it not?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, because I remember seeing in the Criterion a picture, you know, of you and him, and it was such a testimony to the mercy and grace of God. It was beautiful.
Yeah, God is so good.
Yeah. Now, Debbie, Monica and I both counsel down at the local Planned Parenthood, and we encounter a lot of women as well as men that are very angry when we're reaching out to them. And we always, you know, in the back of our minds are thinking that they probably have been affected by a past abortion. Are there some signs that people can you know, they can identify that maybe that person has been affected, and letting them know about, you know, the help that is available to them?
Well, anger is definitely one of those signs, anger and rage, and that's what we see a lot of in many of the people who are really pro-choice. They have that anger and that rage that sometimes seems like it's just way over the top of what it should be. So that usually is a good indicator. A lot of times, too, people will isolate from others, you know, family members. I know one time when I gave a parish visit in a parish, I was kind of in the middle of the pew, and there was a woman next to me at the sign of peace, and she said, "Now I understand." And that's all she said. And I thought, now she understands there's somebody that she knows that she loves that is exhibiting the symptoms that I exhibited, because I always share that in my witness. And that's that withdrawal, because you are so ashamed of what you've done and you are so afraid that you're going to let it slip that you just isolate yourself from others because you don't want anyone to find out. The shame is just so great that you just don't want anyone to know. And so the people that you're experiencing that are really filled with this anger and are just so pro-choice, a lot of times they're just buried in denial. You know, they're not accepting the responsibility for what they've done. They don't even see that it's wrong, because darkness, you know, sin darkens our mind, our intellect, and they don't even realize.
That's exactly right. There's just so much pain there, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Debbie, how can listeners best help you in this important ministry?
Well, first of all, prayer, because this is a ministry of God's grace and mercy, so we need a lot of prayer warriors. They can go to the website and sign up to be prayer support. They can go to the website and sign up to make a donation if they'd like. And we need lots of people that are talented and would like us to help us grow this ministry, because I really feel like we need to be able to train people to be able to help me in doing this ministry so we can reach more men and women.
Absolutely.
But I failed to mention that when these women contact me from the internet, they're calling from all over the United States. So I'm working with women all over the country, and God is not limited by distance, because he can do just as beautiful a job over the phone as he can when I'm working with someone face to face.
Wonderful. HealingHiddenHurts.org is the website again, HealingHiddenHurts.org. Debbie Miller, president and foundress of Healing Hidden Hurts, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today and for being such a docile instrument in the hands of our Lord and his most holy mother.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
In his 1995 encyclical, The Gospel of Life, Pope St. John Paul II spoke a word to those women who have had an abortion, encouraging them not to lose hope, but to seek the Father of Mercy, who is ever ready to give his peace and forgiveness. The pontiff ended by saying, "With the friendly and expert help and advice of other people, and as a result of your own painful experience, you can be among the most eloquent defenders of everyone's right to life. We know that God is a master at taking something evil or tragic and turning it into something good and beautiful. There's no doubt that he's using women like Debbie Miller to do just that. Please keep Debbie and the women and families that she is helping in your prayers. Also remember that the fall campaign of 40 Days for Life is underway and your help is needed. You can go to 40daysforlife.com/Bloomington to register and sign up for an hour or more of prayer right there at 421 South College Avenue. Thanks for being with us today. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.